It's been an amazing week for the region, for many of us personally, with things going on in family. So good to see you back here this morning, Frida. And the story of life that is unfolding all around us. Week by week, I find myself looking to the readings as they have been laid out in the lectionary, and hoping and praying for connection, for application, and so on. And week by week, I'm astonished at how relevant the readings are. And so I find as much with our readings this morning, this as the collective synoptic gospels have labeled him, the rich young ruler, even though his title or place in life is only referred to in the book of Mark as one having great wealth, and the fact that he departed from Jesus' presence with equal sadness. A striking encounter, don't you think? This man of great means in his youth coming to Jesus, and his approach is an indication of what's going on for him inside. The fact that he runs up to Jesus, because running in an, let's say, humid, hot climate, we're familiar, right? Running in that kind of context is not the normal kind of thing you do. Typically, we're trying to conserve the exertion of energy because of what it does to us and then to our clothing and so on. But this young guy runs up to Jesus, and then he throws himself at Jesus' feet in this kind of moment of homage. And adoration, he is moved passionately within. This is no kind of standing off at the back of the crowd, and raising a hand and saying, "I have a question back here," kind of thing. He's right up into the moment, right into this intimate proximity with our Savior. "Teacher, good teacher," he says, "good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" What a stunning question. Perhaps you might ask, why would he even ask such a question? Think about it. What are all the associations that typically come with one who has lived an upstanding life? "All these commandments I have kept," he says. Jesus, relaying to him the second table of the commandments, the ones that have to do with you and I in this kind of horizontal business of life, leaving out the first table, the vertical dimension. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind." That moment, seemingly a bit of space between this young man and his heart. But the second table, he looks at with the sense of, I have lived that life. I have been diligent, essentially. I have done no one any harm in my life. What a great moment to imagine or aspire, having some integrity and saying something like that. "I know I couldn't." But he did. "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" So I find myself asking, wondering about his moment, because I don't know that kind of wealth or affluence. But I imagine that perhaps he is saying, "Everything in my life is taken care of. Materially, I don't have a worry, a care in the world. If there's anything I truly want or need, by golly, I just go get it. I've already got it all in the bank. There isn't a thing I have to take out credit for. I owe nobody anything. My life is secure. Things are sweet and wonderful for me, and I have arrived here by virtue of my hard work and my place in life, my taking advantage of the moments and the opportunities that I have, just as I have kept the commandments, these by my strength, by my perseverance, by my setting myself apart, by my intentionally being a good person, wanting to be a good person, and as such, being a good person, enjoying the esteem, you know, the rapport, the acknowledgement of all those in some similar, like-minded, like-hearted way want to be good people, want to be upstanding citizens in the world. And Jesus is essentially asking, I hear you have done no one any harm. Doesn't even challenge him on it at all, which I'd be inclined to do. However, what good? What good have you done anybody with your place in life? You may have stepped back, elevated yourself in ways, but I ask you, what good have you done? Whom have you lifted up? Whom have you come alongside? Whom have you entered into life and said, your brokenness, your poverty, your loss, your grief, oh, that's mine. I'm with you in this. Fear not, we are together. Now, isolated he is, outside, but full of himself, full of his wealth. But consider this. He ran up to Jesus. He fell at his feet. What must I do to inherit eternal life is the burning question of his soul, I suggest, is vacuous, empty, empty. For all the success, for all the wealth, here is an emaciated, hungry, yearning soul that is empty, empty. And Jesus looks on him and loves him. Oh, what a beautiful moment to know for you and I, to know that gaze, that love of our Savior upon us. He looked upon him and loved him. You see the space between Jesus, this, you know, itinerant, wandering, preaching one. No place to rest or to lay his head. For the call and the mission of God upon his life. Nothing in the bank. Not sure where the next meal is coming from. But Jesus, the Son of God, stepping into the midst of humanity to show the compassion, the heart, and the mercy of God in a way that people might get it. Oh, but this has been God's way all along. You see, God was present with Moses and his people, present with Moses in the leading, encountering Moses face to face in the tabernacle in those moments where he comes out all irradiant with the presence of God in the midst of the people. And haven't the people seen all the wondrous acts and deeds of this saving sovereign Lord? You know, the one who defeats all the gods of the Egyptians. The one who releases his people from the mighty clutch and grip of the most powerful man in the day, Pharaoh. The one who brings them through the Red Sea on dry ground and then says from the top of the mountain, you will have no other gods before me. Remember this. I am the one who rescued you from the hand of Pharaoh. That is, I am the one who rescued you from slavery. And what was their slavery all about? But stuff, making bricks, stuff, the stuff of idolatry, the stuff by which mankind aggrandizes himself. And I invite you into the wealth of poverty, seemingly, the wealth of poverty, to journey through the wilderness, clueless about where and how you'll be fed. But trust me, I will be there, and I will feed you food from heaven. Food from heaven will be your wealth. You will wander in the wilderness, again, clueless about where and how you will get water to drink. But trust me in this, I've got water even in a rock. And thus it pours forth. And astoundingly, in the midst of all the mighty acts of God's redemption and providence, the people's heart grows cold, distrusting. The rich young man had that heart. Signs of the providence of God all around him, even his own aptitude and ability. You know, resources and opportunity are given to plenty, but you don't always see any fruit from that gift. So often it's simply squandered and whittled away to nothing. But he'd done something with this, the opportunity and the aptitude, and yet, still, just pride reigning his soul. So Jesus looked upon him and loved him in this way of saying, you know, that vacuous space within you, you know how to fill that? You know how to find some meaning and purpose in life? You know how to rejoice in the moment? Jesus says, give it away. Give it away. There's the joy. And then after you've given it away, then come, follow, but not just like, you know, a short trip, but be following me. This is the way of life in its fullness and its wealth and its richness. Life, trusting God, not the stuff you see, not what you're sure of. And so for us, this opportunity to see the people in need in Panama City and the region, at least one of our churches, I understand, wiped clean off the map. Maybe the foundation is left. No other sign of anything ever being there. I have to address this. I'm not sure quite how, because some folks choose to live and build their houses on sand. Not necessarily the wisest thing. And that's not my life. So I wrestle with that. And I don't find any compulsion within me to take what God has given to me and help somebody who has more, you know, grow in their more. Now, that being said, there are a whole lot of others who have nothing, who had little to nothing to begin with, and now have absolutely nothing. Nothing but life, and maybe their family, and this prospect of the future. What will it hold? And sitting there in the rubble and the sticks, the tin, the metal, and wondering, Is there any hope? Is there any love for God for me? How will I see? How will I know it? And I pray that we show up. That we show up big time. Because as we look at our lives, I suspect we might be quite a bit like that rich young ruler. We've made it, haven't we? You know, degrees, careers, houses, one at least, and sometimes two or three. And we have a pantry, and it has whatever we'd like to put in it. And we have showers, and we have beds. We have safety, and we have security. But I ask you, is your heart warm? Are you rejoicing and flowing over, you know, like 23rd Psalm says, my cup runneth over. I saw a beautiful sign on a bus back in Manassas when 9/11 occurred. And it was a moment of looking for community response. And the answer was, if your cup runneth over, spill a little. I remember that. Spill a little. Friends in Christ, we have opportunity to spill a little. The need right now is immense. It's beyond our comprehension, in part because we can't even get there to see or measure it. I have my truck packed full of food. I'm looking for the opportunity tomorrow to drive down there, and I'm not quite sure yet where to go. Because I understand the place that has need, I can't get to because I don't have a local address. But between here and there, I'll find out, you know, where is a proximate address, probably a church that I can drop this stuff off with. We'll be taking not only the goods that we can amass for people hungry, others needing cleansing. One thing I didn't think of was baby wipes. You know, how else do you take a bath if you don't have water kind of moment? I also didn't think about bread. I got peanut butter and jelly. What you going to put it on? But you see the pain of this in terms of its immense, incomprehending scope. The need is immediate for relief. And there will be ongoing need for rehabilitation, for rebuilding in time to come. Let's not be hard of heart and squirrel away in our respective trees our security. Let's live with the heart of God. See, here's how I imagine the parable playing out. If that rich young guy had experienced the grace of God, Jesus says to him, go, sell everything you have and give to the poor. And he looks at his stockpile and he says, whoa, oh joy, look how I get to be a part of the kingdom of God. Yeah, I can't wait to spread this around. I can't wait to pass out and to share. I can't wait to be present with these in need and to say, here is what God has given me to share with you. Because the glory is not here. The glory, oh, that's to my God and my Savior, who has shown me not only the forgiveness of my sins, but also the shaping and the forming of my character. That is, caritas, mercy, compassion, identification with people in need. Friends in Christ, pray on this. Pray. Let God move you. May God move all of us to respond, each with our different aptitudes and abilities. I'm not expecting anybody to write a check for an XYZ amount. We're spread out a bit. At the same time, I think we can all do something to come alongside these people, at least our brothers and sisters in Christ, in the church, and the communities that they serve. Let God be glorified through this moment, in part, and let your joy abound, abound. God bless and keep us in and through this time of testing. In Jesus' name, amen.